Heads up, this episode is an interview with a pregnancy test. There's nothing objectionable or explicit, but it does acknowledge that reproduction is a thing. With that said, here's the show.
My first memory, I lived in a... it's called Rite Aid. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I lived in, it's an aisle of Rite Aid called Feminine Care, and I lived there for a long time.
But you did get purchased.
Yeah, it just happened. It was so wild because this lady put her hand on, like, all my neighbors. Like, she touched all of us, and she was reading our backs. And she went with me, and I was just blown away. It's sort of, it's a blessing and a curse, you know, because getting to leave, I don't really know what's out there. I mean, I know what's in my instructions. I know what can happen to us. I know that eventually, if everything goes according to plan, I'm going to get peed on.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Emmy. I'm a pregnancy test.
Do you just, for, I guess, our listeners that can't see you, do you just want to describe what you look like for us?
Sure, sure. Well, I live in a box, so a lot of people, I haven't shown my form in the world before, I guess, but you can tell from the picture on the box, I think. I'm tall and sort of slender, and I've got a very long neck.
So you live in a box?
Yes. I have instructions, too. It's not just me.
Well, I first thought I would start by asking you some questions about babies, but you actually, despite what you do, you actually interact with adults a lot more than babies. Do you have a sense for what babies are like?
I know it's like a small, I've seen them in the aisle before, and they're like little people that can't do anything.
Yeah.
I think I understand them as little people that they make noise, but they don't really help with anything.
Yeah. So what you're...
Like, I've never seen a baby, like, refill the stock of pregnancy tests.
Right.
Right. But I understand also that they're very cute and people like taking care of a thing that does nothing.
And what about the adults you encounter in the aisle?
Yeah. Sometimes it's, like, moms and daughters. Sometimes it's women by themselves. Sometimes it's, like, little boys who come to laugh at us. And I don't take that personally, but some of the products in the aisle don't like that. But I don't blame them. You know, everybody's curious.
When people are embarrassed or excited or scared, are you feeling that?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard because, like, as a pregnancy test, I can be positive, I can be negative, but people can be a lot more things than that.
Yeah. Can I actually ask you some just yes or no questions, because you are a yes or no thing?
Yes, yes, yes.
And you can just give me answers, yes or no?
Yes.
Well, I guess, would you say you're happy to be who you are?
Yes.
When you think about delivering the big news that you're going to deliver, are you nervous?
Yes.
Are all people inherently good?
Ooh. Yes.
Is my dad proud of me?
I think he would have to pee on me for me to know that.
Are there any mistakes a person can't undo?
Yes.
Will I ever have a kid?
Yes.
Should I have a kid?
Yeah.
When you think about how you're going to be used, is that gross to you?
No. I've been wanting to know what it feels like. I know about pee from my instructions, but I don't know exactly where it comes from. So, like, I know the area generally. I know it's, but I don't know exactly where. I don't know. You would think humans would be like sponges, you know, where like when they soak up a bunch of liquid, you just give them a twist and it all comes out. But you have a much different system.
Yeah. And then what's your understanding of what happens to you?
Okay. So what I know from the instructions, I think they're going to hold me over the toilet and she'll pee on me and then we wait. And then I lean out my window and say yes or no. I don't, you know what I'm, figuratively lean out my window.
The waiting period is so interesting because it's like, I don't know, what is it? A couple minutes?
I think it's a few minutes.
That is maybe the most intense 3 minutes that a human experiences.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do during those 3 minutes. I'm kind of in the ultimate third wheel situation. It's a very strange position to be in.
I just think about, like, people are, you know, sometimes probably picturing their whole lives. What if it is and what if it isn't?
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot of anticipation. And I think I'd rather dwell on the anticipation, because if I think to the next step, whatever it is, I'm in a trash can. They don't keep you.
And I guess you're just positive or negative forever.
Yeah. 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 I mean, in my dreams, I would stick around, you know, like I'd like to meet the grandparents and the extended family, but I know that that's not really my role. It's only, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, like the people are thinking about their family and I'm not really a part of it. I feel like a part of it, but I'm not. Like, I think in my dreams I would be in the photos with them, you know? I would be part of the family. I should be like a charm on a necklace at the very least.
It's so fast when you think about it. It's 3 minutes. You're opened. 3 minutes later, you're done.
Yes. It's just going to be a lot at once. It really is. Like, imagine if, like, you had, like, all your birthdays at the same time.
Just a lifetime of birthdays all in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then died. You know, like when a bee stings, it loses its stinger and that's the end of its life. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is amazing that, you know, something so significant happens so quickly.
Yeah, because it used to be a lot more complicated. Like, you'd have to send away for something from a lab, and then they'd send you a jar, and you'd send it back, and they'd test the jar. Or before that, even, they used to use a frog.
For a pregnancy test?
They'd use a frog as a pregnancy test.
How did that work?
Okay. Until the 1960s, if a woman thought she was pregnant, the doctors would take a urine sample, inject it into a live frog, and then if the frog laid eggs, it meant she was pregnant.
It's crazy to think about you and a frog having the same job.
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. It would be weird if the Rite Aid sold live frogs in a box, but I think it would be great if I lived on a lily pad. You never see a pregnancy test on a lily pad. Like when you go to a pond, we're never there.
That's true.
I wouldn't mind trading lives with a frog. I think the frog gets to lay eggs and start a family of its own, you know? Like I don't get to have my family.
Well, do you want to have a family?
Would I like to start a family?
Well, yeah. Yeah, what if you could start a family? Would you want to start a family?
No one's ever asked me that before. Yeah. I'd have to... It'd be tough for me to meet another test that I would want to have tests with. But I think it would probably be, you know, me and my partner and then two little tests. We'd live in a very nice box, like a very big box, like a family pack. and we would, you know, do regular family things.
Like what?
We'd have, you know, like an attic full of puzzles. We would make dinners. Uh-huh. We sit on the couch and we eat a lasagna. Maybe me and my partner would be pushing the kids on these tiny little swings. I don't know. It's... And we'd take photos. We would definitely take photos.
Is it true that everything happens for a reason?
No.
Is it true that you are what you eat?
No.
Is it true that the youngest sibling is the best looking?
Yes.
Is it true that cats have 9 lives?
No.
Would the world be a better place if people came with instructions too?
Yes.
Are you ever scared of delivering a false positive?
Yes.
Do you have a hard time saying no?
Yes.
Do you think the way humans reproduce is weird?
Yes.
Are there weirder ways of reproducing?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, is this George?
Yes.
So I want to talk to you about Tex. Is that okay?
Sure.
So Tex is a whooping crane. Tell me about the first time you saw Tex.
It was at the Patuxent Wildlife Research Center, and my first thought was, this poor bird is really screwed up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What did you see? What made you think that?
Because she was dancing with people as they walked by.
Yeah.
She was raised by humans, not by cranes, so she's imprinted on humans. She really liked dark-haired young men, and she hated women, and she hated redhead men.
Wow. So she didn't just, it wasn't just humans, like she had a type.
Yeah, she had a type. But she wouldn't behave that way at all towards cranes. She would attack them. And I'm a scientist, and so I reasoned that in order to get her to ovulate, she would require a human mate.
So the idea here is, at this time, it was really important to get whooping cranes to reproduce, because there were, what, 100 in the world?
No, about 70.
Wow. So you, George, you ended up being the mate, and Tex, she really did bond with you. How did you know that had first happened?
Oh, she would approach me and want to stay beside me and would do this courtship dance, and she would also do different types of calls that cranes do to each other, and she would just be at my side.
Okay, so you moved into her territory to try and make this happen. Can you just tell me what your days were like with her?
You know, it wasn't like she was like a pet sort of to me, mm-hmm. I suppose. So I would get there at dawn, and I would stay with her until dark completely for 6 or 7 weeks every spring. And I had a little shack on the top of a hill, and the door was open, and when she wanted me to dance with her or do something or go somewhere, she would stick her head in the door and make a particular sound, and then I would go out and follow her, and I just let her take the lead.
Wait, what was it like when you danced with her?
I would just leap. When she would bow, I would go like do deep knee bends and then jump in the air and flap my arms and run around a bit, and that would excite her. And after the dance, the crane sometimes solicits for copulation, and the male will fly up on her back and mate with her. But what I would do is just stroke her back, and she would go into the copulatory reflexes, and two other people would come in to the area, and they would have the semen in a tiny syringe, and they would insert it into her oviduct and deposit the sperm.
Wow.
And then they would run away, and she would chase them.
She thought that they were intruding.
Right.
So after years of trying this, it finally worked, and Tex had an offspring, a male whooping crane, which was named G-Wiz. He's still around. Do you feel differently about G-Wiz than about other birds?
Well, of course I do, because of his importance. He is paired to a crane. It lives in a facility at the Crane Foundation. They produce many chicks, and they now have over 100 grandchildren. So he's working.
I guess his offspring are your grandchildren, too.
I suppose.
So when the time comes for you to do what you do, you're gonna say yes or no. Does that ever feel limiting?
Yeah. It's hard, because I'm sort of like a magic eight ball that only has two answers, like a magic two ball. I wish I could do more. You know, I wish I could do more than just yes or no. I wish I could say like, let's all hang out after this. Or, you know, like, congratulations. Or if it's not the result they want, I hope they know that I support them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I would love to be able to offer a comfort of some kind. Like, I could just shoot out meatballs.
You would make them feel better by shooting out meatballs.
And they'd be good.
The meatballs.
Yeah, they'd be good meatballs.
Do you worry about having to tell someone the answer they don't want?
Yes.
Is it weird to think about how you'll communicate a secret that you don't know yet?
Yes.
Should people put those bow things on baby girls so that people know it's a girl?
No.
Does the question you answer create more questions?
Yes.
Will the world our children grow up in be better than the world as it is now?
Yes. Because, I mean, there keep being more and more things in the aisle, and I feel like that's a sign of progress in some way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you end up saying to the humans, are they going to be okay?
Yes.
Are you going to be okay?
Yes. I'll go yes with this.
This is Everything is Alive. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, Ian Chitlog, with Eva Walchover and Isabella Kulkarni. Thanks as always to Emily Spivak, and special thanks this week to Chioki Iansen and Stevie Lane. Special thanks last week to Lauren Sporer. More thanks still, a big thanks to Hilary Frank. She is author of the new book Weird Parenting Wins and creator of the podcast The Longest Shortest Time. We are grateful to the reporting of Ed Yong, from whom we first learned about the frog pregnancy test. And thanks to George Archibald for telling us about his work saving whooping cranes. Emmy, the pregnancy test, was played by Emmy Blotnick. Music in this episode was by Blue Dot Sessions. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. And without Julie Shapiro, executive producer, we would be a plate of spaghetti without any meatballs. You can find any number of ways of getting in touch with us at everythingisalive.com. We'll see you soon.
Do you know what IKEA is?
IKEA?
IKEA.
Yes, I know what IKEA is.
Okay, so IKEA made a magazine ad out of this paper that you could pee on, and it was a pregnancy test, but it was like a very different kind. And you would pee on the paper, and it would tell you if you were pregnant or not by giving you a coupon for Cribs.
So you would pee on your magazine?
Yes, which I don't think people normally do that.
No. And then it would, if you were pregnant, it would change.
It would show you Cribs if you were pregnant.
I feel like whether or not you're pregnant, you kind of, you have ruined your magazine.
Absolutely. Yes. Radiotopia.